Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, October the 30th, 2016.
Good morning. My name is Ken Cato. I'm the chairman of the deacons here at Grace, and we'd like to welcome you this morning as you worship with us. I'm looking around. One particular, we need to welcome Jimmy Phillips. I understand that he's here somewhere this morning in uniform. So if you see a Marine in uniform, you'll know that he just finished his camping trip at Paris Island. You might want to congratulate him. So October has been Pastor's Appreciation Month. And at this time, we would like to recognize our pastoral and ministry staff. All through this month, Pastor Ben and Kelly have brought to our attention in this month's sermons and through the week lessons the high standard of character that Scripture puts in place for those who would be leaders in the church. It's not so much what they do, and our ministry staff and pastoral staff do a lot. It's not so much what they do, but it's who they are that we want to honor this morning. Each is uniquely qualified for the position that they have been placed in, that God has put them in. They've developed the gifts that God has given to them, and they're committed to serve the body of Christ. We're grateful they have allowed the Holy Spirit to use them to minister to the portion of His body that worships here at Grace. I'm going to ask them, I'm not going to ask them to come forward because of time, but I do want them to stand as I call their name, and I'd like for them to remain standing until we've finished with everything. Matt Pollock, our academy headmaster. Caitlin Pollock, our children's ministry director. Camilla Borma, here she is, women's ministry director. David Prairie, youth pastor. Mike Swanson, our GO and executive pastor. Kelly O'Rear, our GROW and family pastor. Fred Holcomb, our GATHER and worship pastor. And Ben Graham, our senior pastor. Let's show our appreciation with a round of applause. Let's begin the service in a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for your love and your mercy to us, and we thank you for the body that you've allowed us to become, be a part of, and for the leaders that you have put in place to minister and to guide and to provide the leadership that we need. Pray that you'll be with this morning's service, that our hearts will be open to hear your word and to allow you to speak and to move us in the direction that we need to be moved, that we'll go out and serve you throughout the week in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Ken. Well, one of my favorite ways, and I say this about like all of the different ceremonial types of things we do, from baptism and Lord's table and now child dedication, but I love all of these. But it is time I'm going to bring the parents up of some of our new children in the ministry here and talk to some of them. I have decided, since even we met earlier this morning, that I'm going to give up for today my favorite part of this whole thing, because I like babies, and I like holding the babies when we do this, but with a wife and child at home with strep throat, I'll not touch your children this time. So just in case. I am clean if you're shaking my hand. I've been sanitizing and those kind of things. But I just figure I don't want you guys calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning when your children are screaming and blaming me on these things. So in the New Testament, as we look to the New Testament, we often see households that are coming to faith together, that a father or mother would follow the Lord and then the whole family would come along with them. And parent and child dedication is, in many ways, a remnant of that. And while it's not salvation, nor is it necessary for salvation of a child, it's a promise of parents to raise their children to follow Christ and to treasure God as a gift, to treasure their kids as a gift from God and a gift to God. It's also a promise of them to raise their children to and lead them to follow him. It's also us as a church congregation saying, you're not alone in the process of raising your children to love and follow the Lord, to be godly men and women. In Matthew 19, 13, we read, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, bringing them to Christ. In the same way, Jeremy and Jamie Barrett today bring their son, Isaac Garner, presenting first themselves and then Isaac before the Lord our God. Witnessing this today are his siblings, Parker, Delaney, and Levi Barrett. All right, good ones. I'll at least come and stand near him a little bit here, so I'm not going to bump you too much with the elbows here, all right? Well, Isaac, your name means he will laugh. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine. May you rejoice in the Lord and bring cheer to the weary. Sean Griswold today brings his daughters, Haley Marie and Hannah Rose, presenting first himself and then Haley and Hannah before the Lord our God. Haley, you know what your name means? Your name, and it's got a couple of different ones here, so we have to choose which one to go with, but your name can mean hero. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. May you be a hero to all as you put yourself aside for them and for God's glory. And Hannah, your name, this works really well here, but your name means grace. Hey, we like this, huh? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said to them, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. May you rely on God's grace for your life and be an example of living grace. David and Brandy Prairie today bring their daughter Victoria Jane, presenting first themselves and then little Tori before the Lord our God. Witnessing this today are her older siblings, Judah, Asher, and Evelyn Prairie. So Victoria, your name means victory. She's sleeping through this whole thing. It's fine. Most of the congregation sleeps when I speak anyway. It's perfectly okay. I got an amen back here on that. All right. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. May you find and lead others to victory in Jesus. Parents, and I'll turn my back on the congregation here as I speak to you, I call your attention to the commands of God recorded in Holy Scripture. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7 tells us, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So your church urges you to love God with every ounce and fiber of your being and teach these children to do the same. As you love God, one another, and these children, you will model before them a wonderful love for God that they will want for themselves. So by coming forward before God and his people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and these children to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, we do. I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and his people, so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help and in partnership with your church to provide your children a Christian home of love and peace, to raise them in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage them one day to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Finally, I ask the church then to make a commitment as a vow as well. As believers in the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach the gospel story to our younger generations. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Joel commands us to tell of God's work to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. So I direct my questions now to the congregation. Being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourselves to be the children of God because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, please respond by saying, we do.
We do.
Would you please stand? I ask now that you make the following commitment before God and those who stand before you, so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help these parents to be faithful to God, to help teach and train these children in the ways of the Lord so that they might one day trust Him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do." Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these children, for these parents who desire to raise them to follow you. God, we pray your blessings on these households, on these parents as they follow you and loving you and then lead these children to do the same. And for us as a church, God, I pray that you would draw us ever closer to you and in doing so, connecting us with one another, that we can provide an excellent example and come alongside these parents in raising these children to follow you and to give their lives as a holy and living sacrifice for you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ben, and these families. We're excited for them. I'm going to ask some of the young people that are going to help me this morning. It's always a joy to be able to lead worship with some of our young folks, and this will not be an exception, so we're glad to do that. Pastor Ben's going to be talking about faith promise this morning, faith promise giving, but more than that, giving our hearts and our lives to really honor and serve the Lord. And as I ask you to stand with me this morning as we sing, I hope that you understand that we have that firm foundation that we're going to be singing about in just a minute of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He has promised to be faithful to us, and what more or can we do than to be faithful to Him? How firm a foundation.
How firm a foundation you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled?
Fear not,
He is with us, oh, be not. Our God, our sustainer and strength.
The kids to come down and join us. We have a special guest with us this morning. I'm going to let Mike Swanson introduce him in just a second. But kids, you guys make your way on down here, and we'll have our go story this morning.
Okay. As the children are all coming down, you guys can just have a seat down front. We have got a special guest with us today who's going to tell us a go story. He's a missionary, that's right. And he has been here before. Mr. Ken Rudolph is with us, and he's going to come share a little bit. Ken and his wife, Jenner make their home in Charlotte, North Carolina, have ministry all over the world, particularly with kids at camps. I know that's a big part of his history, but they also work in Germany and that part of Europe. But he gets to travel all over the world, and he's going to share a little bit with us about the things that God is doing, and just share with us and give us an update. So, Mr. Rudolph, if you'll come join us this morning.
Thank you. Well, how are all you young people doing this morning?
Man, isn't it great to be alive and know Jesus? You know what? When I went to church all my life when I was a little kid like you guys. And then, but you know what? I knew about Jesus, but I did not know Jesus until I was 15 years old. And when I was 15 years old, I went to camp and I heard the gospel that Jesus died for my sins because there's nothing I could do to earn my way to heaven. But that Jesus died, he earned my way to heaven. And so I believed in him, and I know some of you are thinking about that stuff. But I was 15 years old, and I got saved. And I was so excited, I went home, and I told all my friends about it. I'm like, you can't work your way to heaven. It's a gift of God through Jesus Christ. And I just love telling that story. I said hello to a gentleman out in the foyer today, and I said, how are you doing? He says, I'm living the dream. You know what that means? You know, we have dreams about what would I like to do for the rest of my life. That would be the most fun thing. You know, do you ever see some people like, I got to go to work, and I got to do my job. You know what? God let me live out my dream. I'm living the dream. I love to tell people about Jesus. And so one day at church, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, I want you to be a pastor. And so I became a pastor, and I got to tell people about Jesus. But you know, one of the things I love the most is I love to go to camp. How many of you, have you ever been to camp? How many of you have been to camp? You know, isn't that fun? I love going to camp and hearing the Word of God and being my friends. And I used to say, God, if there's one thing I would love to do for the rest of my life, it's go to camp and preach to people about Jesus. And you know what? When I was 35 years old, after I'd been a pastor for 10 years, somebody called me up. It was a Baptist Bible college. They said, would you like to come and work for us? You have to go to 10 camps every summer. They said, we're sorry about that part of your job, you know. I said, no, that's the part I love. And so I started going to camps and preaching the gospel to young people. I love doing that. I'm living the dream. And so I went to, you know, year after year, I did all these camps. And then one day, I was in church, and I was listening to a pastor preach. And I'd been going over to Europe. You know where Europe, you know what I mean when I'm talking about Europe? It's way across the sea, okay? So I went to Europe, and I said, man, they don't have many churches here. They don't know about Jesus. And there was something in my heart. I just said, I would like to tell them. And that Sunday morning, God said, I want you to do camps in Germany too, and in Europe. And I said, but God, I'm 57 years old. And they were talking about Joshua. The pastor was talking about Joshua. He says, Joshua's in his late 50s, and he's starting the greatest work of his life. And I was like, oh no. God, you want me to be a missionary? And I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And God helped me get my support. And now I get to go over. You know how many camps I've done? I've done over 200 camps in my lifetime. I'm living the dream. Yes. Do I go to Woodlands? Not yet. Maybe someday. You want me to go there? Okay. I will. You tell the director and I'll come there. Okay. But I'll tell you what. One of the things I did when I went to Germany is I was in a pastor's house, and listen to this. The wife said, I've been praying for 20 years that God would send us an English speaker to do camps. I'm like, I'm an English speaker, and I love to do camps. And so 2 weeks ago, I just finished our sixth year of doing English camp in Germany. You know the great blessing this year? Listen to me. You know what the greatest blessing was? Six of the counselors were campers 6 years ago, and they got saved and sold out to Jesus, and they were the counselors this year. And they told me, they said, Mr. Rudolph, they said, it was English camp that turned our lives around for Jesus Christ. How do you think that makes me feel? And I'm like, woo, yeah. I'm living the dream. You know, sometimes you think, it's so boring to serve Jesus. Man, it's not.
I'm having the time of my life. I've done camps in all over Europe, in Hungary and Russia and Turkey and Austria and Portugal and Germany and Hungary. I think I said that already. Anyways, I'm getting old. I'm having fun doing these camps. And you know what? I'm looking for the next generation. You know what I mean by that? The next group of young people. Listen, look at me, everybody. You are the ones that are going to grow up someday and serve Jesus all over the world. And it's not like, you know what? I hope missionaries don't come here and say, it's so hard to be a missionary. It's not. It's wonderful. And I pray that you might listen. You're going to have some missionary speakers come in the next few weeks to come and talk about missions. Let me tell you, if God calls you to be a missionary, you will have a great time serving Jesus, taking him and telling people all over the world about him. Amen? Guess what? I even get to go down to Argentina sometimes too and do camps. But I love what I do. And you know what? Your church supports me and my wife, and we really appreciate that because we get to tell young people about Jesus Christ. And we see, we had 8 people get saved at our English camp this last year. We also work with Christian schools over there. How many of you go to Christian school? Some of you go to Christian school? Guess what? I get to go and speak to Christian schools all over Europe too. So I'm having the time of my life, all right? All right, everybody, we're done here. Look at me. I also do camps in America too. I get to do that. I get to do camps all over the world. Am I living the dream? Yes. It's fun to be a missionary. It's fun to tell people about Jesus. And I want you to know that God's going to call some of you to have the time of your life, to live out your dream, going around the world telling people about Jesus. Would you like to do that? Yeah? All right. You're like, well, maybe we'll think about it. Okay. But anyways, let God speak to your hearts as your missions thing comes up this next few weeks, and you listen really well, okay? All right, listen, you guys are great listeners, and go out and live the dream. Say, God, help me to live out the dream for Jesus Christ in my life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray for these young people here. I pray, Lord, you speak to their hearts. Lord, let them grow up to be missionaries at home and all over the world, to live out the dream of telling the world of the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he rose the third day and conquered death and destroyed sin and the devil. And Father, that you've given us power to take this all over the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, before Ken goes away, I want to take one more second to pray with him as well and thank him for being here. So let's pray one more time here. Father, we do thank you for Ken, for the great ministry that he and his wife and family have throughout the world. And God, we thank you for his heart and his passion to share that not just with our children, but our whole congregation. So God, we do pray along with him that you would, as you did in his life, call us to whatever it is that you have got for us, whether it's right here where you've got us already or going somewhere else, God, that we, everywhere we would go, we would sacrifice, which is not really a sacrifice, but give our lives as a holy and pleasing sacrifice to you. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. All right, kids, you guys can head out to your future church now and make sure everybody then can connect with Ken after the service out in the foyer. Thanks, Ken.
Would you stand with me as the kids are going out and the choir and orchestra coming down? I will be Christ to you.
I will be Christ to you. I will be Christ to you. I'll be his hand to do what I can, because he has loved me too. I will be Christ to you.
Sing it with me again.
I will be Christ. I will be Christ to you. I'll be his hands to do what I can, because he has loved me too. I will be Christ to you.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, Grace. All right, so in about a month and a half, Judith and I, I guess I could be a servant and help Fred, but I guess I might. All right, we're good. About a month and a half, Judith and I will have been foster parents for a year. And I think some folks recently were hearing about how long we have had Lee in our home, and we're really surprised because he's little. So he looks like he's, you know, 8 months old, but he had turned 11 months old last week. And the fostering side of foster parenting, if I'm very honest about it, can be tough at times. And I was thinking I might say, because I've heard it's kind of a roller coaster, but sometimes it's just like you get this constant beating in some ways. But it really, it's in most ways, it's really good too. The parenting part of it is absolutely awesome. And just love it. Lee especially has gotten into kind of this daddy phase. And it's not that it's anything against mommy and enjoying Judith. He absolutely does. He's with her all day. So when I come home, I mean, his face just lights up. And I am loving it. I get home, and if Judith is holding him, he just kind of starts wiggling and just can't wait to get over to me. Or if he's on the floor, he comes crawling as quick as he can, and he's grabbing. I mean, I don't have a chance to set down any of my stuff. He's grabbing on my legs and pulling up and wanting me to hold him and just enjoy that. And I love it. Last Sunday night at our Grace group, we meet in our house, and we had a couple of the guys, Matt Thompson, Paul Borma, took the kids down to the basement for their time during the day. And so we get to the end of the time, and I walk downstairs. Matt and Paul did a wonderful job. They were both great with kids. And so Matt is holding Lee and just having a good time, but then Lee just kind of caught my eye, and he just flipped and just starts crying and screaming and wiggling again and just can't wait for me to get over there. And so that went on for a whole 3 seconds as I walked across the room and just grabbed him, and he just calmed down right away and just kind of rested in my arms and then started fidgeting and wanting to go play again because that's kind of what he does. And in the same way, it's not like it's a one-sided kind of thing. When I see the little boy, my face just lights up. I come in here and I preach on Sundays, and I get to the back, and when I get him from the nursery, or if Judith picks him up and brings him to me, I just can't wait to see him and just to hold him. He delights in me, and I delight in him, and it's just a great joy. He is like most babies in the way that he can be a selfish little dude. And I call him a selfish little sinner sometimes. Cute little sinner he is. We were going to put a picture of him up here so everyone could just kind of look at him. But I tried to put the picture up. The computer shut down and says just too much cute. So we didn't do that. But even in the midst of, you know, the selfishness of a child who doesn't realize yet that the world doesn't revolve completely around him, you get these glimpses of him trying to please his daddy. He gets excited when he sees that I'm excited about whatever it is that he is doing or has just done, and may go and try to do it again. He gets a little bit disappointed when I tell him no. He's starting, okay, I don't think he, under. I hope he doesn't understand the word no, because he never listens to me when I say no, and because he just keeps on doing the same thing. But you can tell if I'm not smiling right there at him that it kind of, you know, he wants to see that smile. And so he desires to please me, and I want to please him as well, as long as it's good for him, which usually it isn't. Whatever he wants. You guys, I mean, is this normal for parents that your babies are really just trying to harm themselves at every possible moment, to jump off of things, to break things, to eat things they shouldn't eat? We realize that, you know, our home has been inspected by the state to make sure that it is baby proof, but that's impossible. And so he's always trying to hurt himself. But when he wants something good, I want to please him with things that are good for him. And that's kind of how love works. We want to please the ones who love us and the ones that we love. And whether you know it or not, because I realize there are people in this world that don't know this, and sometimes you know it in your head but you don't feel it. Whether you know it or not, God loves you. And there's no one who loves you more than God does. And there's no one who is more deserving of love than God. So, if we really love God, just like with Lee and myself together, if we love God, we would naturally want to please God. That's what we should desire in life. It should be our top priority. It should be the thing that brings us the most joy. And I will go as far as to even make you the promise. And I was thinking, hey, this promise goes to believers, but honestly, this promise goes to everybody. If you will seek to please God, I promise you, you will find incredible joy. And I dare you to test me on it. For those who don't yet believe in Christ, you haven't trusted in him for salvation, I promise you that that will bring you more joy than anything else ever could. And I'm not even just talking about that eternal hope that we have. That's a part of it, looking on to eternity, and that joy that we will spend eternity living. But I'm talking about right here, right now, that there is joy in following and seeking to please God. I'm not talking necessarily about pleasure. That comes along at times as well, but joy that comes as we seek to please him. I'm going to make another wild guess here. I am thinking that everybody here probably wants to have a joyful life. Sometimes in the ways that we live, we may not act like it, but is there anyone here who desires to be miserable? I'm not seeing any hands coming up. That's a good thing. We have counseling too. So how do we get that joyful life? How do we please God? If pleasing God and joy are coming together, how do we get that? And guess what? This is going to be another one of those shocks of the day. I know you're going to be surprised by this. But as God writes Scripture, gives us the Scripture, the Bible answers that question for us. Can you believe it? Coming to church, we're going to talk about the Bible. Look at that. Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Any of you guys who have been a part of the grace groups, we've looked at that passage over the past few weeks. And in the daily devotionals, one of the things that you might have learned in there is that that word acceptable that's translated can also be translated as pleasing. That presenting your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God is pleasing to him. So we please God, and therefore we find joy. We please God by presenting our bodies as a holy and living sacrifice, meaning that we use up our life in a positive way, that we spend our life trying to bring God glory. It's that to glorify God part of our mission and strategy, that we gather, we grow, and we go by the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify God, and it's that part of the mission. For somebody who is unfamiliar with God, that might seem a little bit extreme. But you're telling me, Pastor, that everything in my life should be focused on pleasing God and not attaining things for myself in this world, because that goes against what the world tells me. But it's not extreme. As you look in there, that word spiritual, you would have also seen this in your devotionals with the grace group material, gospel-shaped worship. That word spiritual that's there, that can translate also, and probably translates a little bit better, as reasonable, meaning it makes sense. So in light of the mercies of God, it makes sense that we will want to please God and to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to him. So Paul has spent all of the book of Romans up to that point writing about God's mercies, about how good he is to us, about his unfathomable majesty and glory. And he says, so in light of all of that, and simply the fact that we couldn't even continue in life, because part of the mercy is understanding that we are so sinful and rebellious against our Creator, we don't even deserve to live. We talk about the incredible mercy and grace of God so much in our salvation and in being offered life eternal, but sometimes we don't even think about the mercy and the grace that we receive. Even the non-believers, even people that actively oppose God, receive that same mercy to be able to live this life. We don't deserve that. And so in light of all of that, against our rebellion, against our Creator, that we have nothing without his mercy, that there is no other response that even begins to make sense than to offer ourselves completely back to him. And we do that not out of just fear or obligation, but knowing that he loves us and that he wants what is truly best for us. And in fact, he knows you better than you know you. He knows better than you what is best for you and what's going to truly bring you the most joy. And so we offer ourselves to him knowing that that's what he wants. But what does it mean to make your body a living and holy sacrifice? That sounds pretty tough. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we please God by doing good. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16, and for the sake of time, we'll go through these verses fairly quickly, but they're on the screen too. "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Part of praising God is lifting up our voices. Individually we can do this, but also as we lift up our voices together. That's the, as we think about our mission to gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify God. That is the a part of the gather part of that mission. If you look back in January, go to the website, look back in January on our sermons, we had the praise project that we did here that walked through what does it mean to praise God as God has called us in Scripture to praise Him. And so we do that with our lips. But as we come to the GO conference starting next Sunday morning, we're going to be focusing even more on the doing good portion of that. And I'm not talking about, we're saying doing good, we're not just talking about being good. How many of you parents, or maybe you heard this from parents, or you have, as parents have said this to your children, you're leaving for a little bit, they're with a babysitter, or you drop them off at school or whatever, or your parents did the same for you, and you say, be good. Right? Y'all done that? Heard that a few times, my parents said that to me. What do we typically mean when we say that? We typically mean don't cause terror. Don't tear things up, don't break things. Really, we're just saying don't be bad. And so we kind of reverse the definition there, and we are kind of saying be good by not being bad. But when we talk about doing good in Scripture, it's actually this active term that you actively, intentionally go out and do good. It's not just the absence of doing something bad, but finding good to do to people. A lady in the church came up to me just a few weeks ago and said, "You know, Pastor Ben, I had this dream the other night that you came up with this kind of a vision for, or kind of have, were given this kind of vision or dream for the church about planning this outreach and missions goal for us." I just said, hang on, and that's where we're coming. As we come to what I see the Lord leading us to as a church, what I want you to understand is I know and I've been told that I can come across a lot stronger or firmer than I intend to. And a lot of the time, it's just because I get really excited. And I'm really, especially when I get excited, I start talking really fast. So I'm doing my best to hold that back too. But I get excited about these things. But my desire is to lead Grace Baptist Church in the way that the Holy Spirit leads me. And I sense Him kind of guiding for our church. But I also understand that I am not perfect and that I can miss things in the midst of all of that. So I always want to hear congregational feedback. I want to hear from you about how we're doing in these things. That's why I try to talk about these things before, you know, the day before we get to them. I try to present them a little bit ahead of time. As we look back a little bit to the series, the Beyond series that we just finished, which went through the first missionary journey in Acts, we talked about developing a culture of evangelism within the church. That came up at several points within that series. And it's how we all, as individuals and as a group, we just naturally take the gospel wherever it is that we go. And I told you that whole time that the church, your church, is here to help you figure out and learn how to do that and to help come together to see those things happen. We even started seeing people who were coming up and saying, you know what, I've got this person I'm trying to reach out to, but I'm not totally sure how to connect with them in a certain way. And we mentioned that to the church, and we had a bunch of folks come alongside and kind of give some pointers on how you reach this kind of person or a person who struggles with this particular thing. And it was beautiful to see the church, the people of the church, coming together to reach one particular person. And that's, you know, as we look at today, what we're talking about, and during the whole GO conference, what I want to do is lay out a vision for how we come together to go and to do the mission that God has given us in the world, to share the gospel with the world. And I want to start with looking at, and both today and when we come to the conference, we want to look at some ministry partnerships, and that means some local, some national, and some global partnerships. We're going to kick off next Sunday with the Glaudfelters, who serve in India. They're going to be in the Sunday school classes. I think the women are going to be in here and the men in the back, and they'll get an opportunity just to give an update on what's going on with them. And then during the main service next Sunday, Dan Nichols is going to be in here. And I think a lot of us have gotten a chance to connect with him a time or two. He spent a lot of time with our youth. This past summer, the youth went up to his church. He's the lead planter, church planter of Restore Church up in Pennsylvania. He's come in to talk to our academy at several points. And so he's going to be coming in to kind of kick things off for us in the morning message. And then he's coming back that evening, and he's going to train us in what he calls My Circle Evangelism. And I use that word evangelism, and now everyone's like, oh, I'm scared. I'm not coming to that one. it's actually very different. It's about reaching people naturally. As I mentioned, we want to all be trained for these things. And so what he's going to be doing is talking about how you can use the relationships that the Lord has already placed you in, the places that you go every day, to start to bring the gospel to people. And so it's not about using tracts, not that those things are bad, or being confrontational or door-to-door, those kinds of things. But it's those natural relationships, and not just doing it all yourself, but even connecting others with other people here in the church. It's that culture of evangelism, and he wants to do some training that evening on that. As we think about what we're called to do good to others, doing good means, I mean, if we give people the gospel, that is the absolute greatest good that we can ever do for them. That's where we're going to find joy. And so I am hoping and praying that all of us can make that Sunday evening, even if you don't normally come on Sunday nights to the grace groups or whatever we have going on. My desire, what I'm asking you, is to show up for that night to see this culture happening here. And so we're going to start the week, next week, with learning how we reach people right around us. And then we're going to look at even more of the local partnerships. So there's some of the individual things that we do and kind of work together on, but we want to talk about some local partnerships here as well. Locally, we already have some great partners. If we think that we do ministry with Choices and LifeSpring and different food banks and things around this area. We heard from Dan Barry, who's been going to a rehab center and actually spending the night with people there just so he can connect with them. We've got folks involved in Salvation Army and all kinds of different wonderful ministries here. We're bringing a guy in here. Hopefully, there's always some things in the air during the GO conference, but it's a guy named Dennis Colbreth that's planning to come in here Wednesday evening, and he oversees quite a few different ministries, or kind of one ministry with several different facets to it, here in the Chattanooga area, all of Hamilton County, really. And so he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. But that relationship actually sparked, and I'll get to some of those ministries in a second, but the relationship sparked because our children's ministry director, Caitlin, came up to me and just kind of had an idea for what she wanted to do with VBS next year, which she told it to me, and I got extremely excited, and we got with Dennis to help us start putting some of this together. So what she wants to do, and I'm going to say this, and some of you who have worked in VBS are going to flip out, just listen to me, I'll walk it back for you, okay? We normally do a five-day VBS in the evenings. This year we want to do 6 days, waiting for the collective gasp. Some of our VBS workers are, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. I cannot physically handle that. We talked about this in our grace group, and one of the gals just immediately said, no. I will collapse at the end of that week, and it just won't happen. We're not talking about 6 days here. What we're looking at doing is 3 days here, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday probably, where we do the regular type of VBS that we have here, but then taking the next 3 days to be kind of grace on mission. And so we're looking for a local partnership. Right now we're looking toward a church in the Highland Park community, which I know a lot of you are familiar with. How many of you guys have lived in Highland Park at some point? I figure we had quite a few there. My dad lived there for a little while, and a very little while, until Tennessee Temple asked him not to return. And so he's been in that community as well. I think we've even found his old house there. But that's kind of the area where we want to do some partnering, a place where we are familiar, and I think a lot of us have a great heart for that area. But so the next 3 days of VBS would be us taking our workers, as many as can continue with that, and our children, putting in buses and different cars and lots of permission forms for that, of course, and heading down there to continue the same work, 3 more days of the same thing, with children who already know what to expect, because children are wonderful missionaries. And so if we go down there and it's just, you know, me and some other adults down there, we might scare some kids away. A few might show up. But where children are, other children flock. And so we want to partner with another local church there who wants to reach their community but may not have all of the human resources to do that, and just to help them with it. And that was the idea that Caitlin came up with. And so we got together with Dennis, and he's now working with a church down there. We have yet to get it all figured out. We're just in the very beginning of all of this, but I was so excited when Caitlin came and started talking about that. And so that's where the relationship started, but we're not looking at just doing VBS with a church and being done. We're hoping it's going to start an ongoing relationship with another church. And again, that part of the whole vision for where we go is going as a church has just started, so we need your prayer, we need your feedback on those things. But this ministry that, Dennis leads, it can also help us with our benevolence and our outreach ministry. They have what they call the Hakoba Care and Food and Clothing Pantry. And so it's an opportunity for a place where we can send people who have needs that we aren't able to meet or need things more ongoing. It's a place where we can ourselves go and volunteer. It's a place where we can give. They are also offering job and parenting and other kinds of training, in particular for women. But there's another area that they're getting ready to start up that I'm really excited about for our church in particular, because we've got a lot of folks here who are have seminary training or Bible college training, and they're about to start a pastor training school in partnership with Samford University right here in Chattanooga. I think it's going to be free, which is really cool. And so those of you who have that kind of background, when Dennis is here Wednesday, November 9th, I'd really just encourage you to connect with him about training there, but also about the food pantry, other ways to volunteer. I'm excited about those opportunities that are coming up there. We've also got a great outreach ministry that happens in the church here. And we talk about, we've got ESL that happens on Monday nights. We've got Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights. And then Wednesday nights, we've moved our Crossroads ministry to become more and more outreach or go focused. We started having those classes that the community might be interested in. We've had a photography class and the women's fitness group that some folks have gotten into. But what we're wanting to do going forward with that is getting a team of people who will go out and just kind of help promote that in the community, to see all of us inviting people to those things, so that when we've got folks from the community who may never come to a Bible study or to a service, that they would walk into a photography class or a women's fitness class. But we need them to know about what's going on. Or when people come in to drop their kids off at Awana, because that's honestly a great connection too. If you can drop your kids off for a couple hours and then go kind of enjoy a class for yourself, those are great draws. It's a way for us to reach our community, and so we've kind of had a soft start on it, and we want to take that to the next level. As we begin as well, though, thinking beyond our city, I've been telling you throughout the last series a little bit about the trip that Mike Swanson and I made up to Washington, D.C. to meet with a possible national kind of an emerging partnership with Mercy Hill Church in Washington, D.C. And I call it Mercy Hill Church in Washington, D.C. The current membership is the pastor and his wife and their son. And so they're just getting started. But we want to go and be a help to that church in building a culture of evangelism there, and also at the same time learning from them and the way that they are reaching their community. And we can also learn from our experience as we go and we help them. Because it can be, honestly, a lot easier to do outreach as you get further away. Have you guys experienced that? Sometimes when you're right here at home, there can be those distractions, and you get used to just your daily life and routines. And so when you get away, it's easier sometimes to think about ministry, to try methods that you may not think about while you're at home. Every time that I have ever led or been a part of a mission team that went away somewhere, every time people have come up to me or to other leaders on those teams and said, hey, why can't we just do this stuff when we get home? And I'll just tell you ahead of time, that's kind of the conversations we're looking for in doing a lot of these things to connect with others. That we realize that we can do great work and help out a church there, but also do ministry here. There's just something about being away from routine that helps us to think and to process and really just to open your mind up to what the Lord, what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us. And that's one of the criteria that we were looking for as a staff in looking for a church planting partnership, a place that's not too far away that we can make the drive in a day, but also a place that's not too close where it's just easy to kind of say, oh, I got something I got to take care of at home, so I'm just going to run back home. We're also intentionally, though, is another one of the criteria, looking for a church plant where it's really needed, that we're not going into a community where it's just an easy place to put a church, but a place where there's not a lot of gospel influence. And we've talked about that with what's happening in D.C. as well, that the Spolinos, John and Amber Spolino, the church planters there, had some of that same criteria, and they've moved into the Southwest Waterfront Community. That's kind of outlined on the picture back here. That's part of their logo. But there is basically no evangelical influence in that community of 35,000 people. And it's only a 9-hour drive from here. Mike and I intentionally made the drive back to see how bad it was. We took a long detour through Liberty University just to kind of see how it might go a little bit longer if you had kids with you. But it's also a very cheap, direct flight. one way, or both ways. So that's a benefit in the trip as well. It's something that is feasible for all or most of our people here to be able to be a part of going and doing some work there. Right now, we are looking at the possibility of starting with a spring break family mission trip. This is a very rare year where public school, private school, all schools are together on spring break. We all just happen to have the same spring break. I've already introduced the concept to some of the elementary kids here in Chapel, and I think some of them are getting excited about being a part of this. We're looking also at partnering with Ottawa Baptist Church. They're the ones who told us about this church planter and then later found out that they're best friends with the Holcomb's kids, or met them once or twice at Liberty, something like that. But a great connection there also. The cool thing with this partnership with Ottawa Baptist is they're very intentionally looking to us because they have heard that we are a church that really cares for our missionaries, that we have a connection beyond just giving. They're a church that gives in a very strong way, but they don't have the relationship with the missionaries that they would like. And so that's something that they're looking to learn from us, but we can learn more about partnering with other churches along with them. And so our focus on that trip, what we're talking about, is helping them to promote the launch of their very first service, which may be right at or even on Easter. We want to reach people in the community. And we also very directly want to help them to connect with their local elementary school. I think I've shared in here before that elementary school is, as of a few years ago, was the worst elementary school in the United States. Everybody in D.C., the only reason you go to a public school in D.C. is if you have absolutely no other alternative. They are known for being terrible. Every 100% of the children in the school are on free or reduced lunch. And we want to invest in that school and the families of that school. And so there are some things we're kicking around as far as things like a mini VBS or whatever to help reach the people there and to help out with the launch in some other ways as well. I'm really tempted to go on and explain it all in really great detail because I'm excited about what's happening there, but I also have to remember that John and Amber are coming down here. They're going to arrive November 9th that evening, spend a little bit of time with adults, and then spend a lot of time with the youth, and then he's going to be back here that Sunday morning to do our message. Remember, the services are flip-flop that day, but he'll be back here that morning, so I want to leave something for them, but it's a budding ministry partnership that I am very excited about. And again, anytime that you guys want to talk about those things, just come to me. I would love to do that. But that's kind of what we're looking at nationally, which also has a very global influence, as people in D.C. are very international. They're from all over the place. But as we move out to doing things internationally very intentionally, we've already got some great relationships started internationally, and one that we're looking at the possibility of focusing on is in the Dominican Republic. Because right there in the DR, there is a great opportunity for international missions that's attainable for more people. It's fairly close, so it's not a long flight. You can fly to the DR quicker than you can fly to California. And it's not usually too expensive of a flight. It's a fairly safe area. Last year we had a women's group that went over, a good size women's group went over there and did some wonderful ministry. And we want to see more of those things happening, partnering with the Hales and Hodges and Pimentels and all that they're doing. The location is already set up. There's some wonderful things happening already. There's a relationship that our church has with theirs, and we're very connected. But we've also got a lot of similarities in ministry. If we look and see that they've got a church and they've got a school and they're doing local outreach to care for people there, those are all things that we are doing here and want to do more of here, and so we can partner with them there. A couple of years ago, we had a team that went over there on kind of a vision trip to see how we could get more involved. And I think there was an explanation of that put in the newsletter. I think we've got that article printed back out on the missions table out here and then on the information booths here so that you can learn a little bit more about how that team saw that we could get involved more and more with the people that we have in the Dominican Republic. And so they listed all kinds of giving opportunities and quick trips that could be done for construction and taking different equipment and training and those kind of things. But there are almost endless opportunities for us as a church to go and to do good internationally. And it's a great way to start so close. And so we want people to go and to train locals and to help them learn to operate that ministry. Again, I don't have time to go into great detail on this, and these are things that we're just kind of beginning to work through, but I wanted to let you know where I really believe God is leading us as a church and to partner with some of these ministries. Allie Hale is intending to be here the evening of November 13th. We just got that confirmed, I think, yesterday. And so excited to have her to talk a little bit more about the ministry in the DR. And so as we look at the local, the national, the global partnerships, what we're truly looking for with all of these things are mutually beneficial relationships, ways that we can go and do good, but also be challenged ourselves, that we can learn more about ministry and learn things that we can do here, that we can be inspired, we can learn new techniques, and simply have the blessing of the joy of going to serve and to give of ourselves to serve others. And so our goal in each of those partnerships is that we will continue the partnerships until they can become self-sustaining as they best can in that context. We understand that some, especially developing nations, they may not become fully self-sustaining in every way. Typically, those kind of partnerships take about 3 to 5 years to get, at least nationally, to get a U.S. church plant going. As we look at the difficulty and just the darkness of Washington, D.C., the complexity of international work, it could take longer. And I want us to be committed if we're going to make a commitment of seeing it through. I want all that we do to be intentionally focused on moving toward self-sustaining ministry in those areas. I don't want them to have to rely on us, but I do want us to be reliable and to be committed to them. I want to watch for that risk of us thinking that it's us going and doing anything rather than the Holy Spirit allowing us the blessing of going and being a part of His work. Understand, God does not need us to accomplish His work. We just get the joy and the blessing of being a part of it. When we start to get that feeling that it's us going and doing these things or that these things wouldn't happen without us, it's kind of like a self-righteousness that goes there. And that's one of those things we want to avoid. Most importantly, I want us to please God in actively doing good. We are not focusing on these particular partners in any way in preference to others. We want to support and care for all of our supported and sent missionaries because they are all our mission partners. These partnerships that we're talking about today have more to do with places where we can actually and intentionally go together in a very coordinated way, that we can physically go to those places in addition to giving and caring. And so my desire for us as a church is to grow our connection and our support for all of our ministries and all of our missionaries. So here's the part that I've got kind of this vision that's in my head that may seem a little or even a lot crazy, and other pastors would tell me that it's impossible for these things to happen. I'm asking everyone to get involved. Not just certain folks or those who can do certain things, but I'm saying if you are like physically capable of going, I want you to go. And if you're not, I would ask you to support others, whether it's financially and in prayer and certainly for all of us getting together behind these teams and encouragement. And we're looking into and really, and when I say looking into opportunities, we need your input on developing some family trips and men's trips and women's and youth and other trips so that we've got several opportunities throughout the year for everyone to get involved, no matter what your skill set might be. As I mentioned, asking everybody 100% to get involved in anything may seem crazy, but I'm okay with asking something big that we can't do on our own because we please God by doing good by faith. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Talk about all these things that can be good and going out and actively doing good to please God, but that doesn't work if we're going out on our own power. It only works if we're going out by faith. It's the only way that sacrificing ourselves, that doing good, pleases God. When we do it because we believe that God is good and that He rewards those who seek Him and that He is God and is capable of all of it. And we understand too that God Himself is that reward. Because God Himself is that greatest thing. To know our Savior, to know our Creator, that is the greatest good for any of us. That's what we're looking to experience by faith. That's why we've called our missions giving or our grace giving. It's been called a faith promise. That's what you've got in your cards in there. We're going to take a look at these cards in just a second, but it's about a faith promise. It's what we pledge to give to God for the coming year in faith. Sometimes I think that as we look at our giving, and I notice this with myself, it is not at least not initially, doesn't always seem as a faith-filled kind of thing. It may mean that, I would think that for most of us in the church, we are probably giving well more than the national average, right? I know Judith and I, we give far above the national average, which is like, the national average is like 2.8% or something like that. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily a sacrifice, that I'm offering up all of myself to the Lord. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's even faith involved. Sometimes we think, if you think about Scripture, that you've got people sometimes that can just give and give and give tons and tons of money or time or whatever it may be, and it just doesn't make any difference. Whereas you've got, if you know the story of the widow giving her last bit of money, that took so much faith. And so I'm not saying that we all give every penny that we have, but I do want us to ask ourselves, whatever we're talking about giving to the Lord, is this something that we are showing where our heart is, showing where our treasure is? Are we putting self aside and trusting God? Typically, this message talking about the faith promise ask, and the ask is kind of what people typically in the nonprofit world call that request for any funds or other kinds of commitments. Typically, you do that message, we've done it kind of after the conference, but I wanted to try something different this year because I want us to be prepared and praying the whole way through the conference. I want us to enter expectantly, knowing what it is that we are seeking to understand and how we're seeking to be changed. So I'm asking that you'll be thinking about what the Lord has for you throughout that whole time, whether it's multiple of these, but giving and going and praying and caring and connecting. But none of this vision, these things that I desire and I believe the Lord is leading us to as a church, none of this is going to happen just because I say so. None of this happens because God tells us to do these things. It's only by faith. And so we've got to be in prayer for the missionaries, but also in prayer for us as a church and the direction that we go. Praying about partnerships, praying for people who are going, selecting missionaries that you yourself over the next year commit to pray for them regularly. I've been asking and will continue to ask for our grace groups and our Sunday school classes to kind of adopt some of our sent and supported missionaries as your own. To take them and say that these are people, not that you're the only ones who are going to give to them, we're not changing how we do giving as a church, but in particular to pray for them, to connect with them, to kind of advocate for them and care for them, to make sure that the church, the missions committee, that we know what's happening in their lives, to make sure that we're connected and they know that we are their church and we love them. And so we're looking to see some of our grace groups and Sunday school classes really get involved in that very intentionally. Of course, then we also need people to go. And a part of going could be, I think it would just be absolutely beautiful to see grace groups or Sunday school classes actually going to visit some of those missionaries. And I get financially that can be tough for a lot of folks. Physically, that is tough. But for those who can, I think that'd be beautiful. And of course, we need giving as well. We need people to give. Because again, we call this a faith promise because it does take faith. We're talking about pledging our time and resources we haven't even been promised. None of you are promised to have your jobs tomorrow. None of you are promised, even those of you on fixed income, Social Security, you are not promised that those things will still be there tomorrow. You are not promised that you will be physically capable of doing any of the things that you've committed to at this time. But we commit in faith. It's a faith step as a church because we make commitments to missionaries that are partners based on the promises that we receive from the congregation. There are a lot of us here too who have been giving to missions without writing the faith promise card. We give to missions and it kind of goes to the same pot, but we just kind of give there regularly throughout the year without promising it. That is very helpful and it's very appreciated. But for those who are doing that, I'd ask you to take that next step of making a pledge so that you can help this church to plan better, but it also helps you to hold to your commitment better. There's an accountability to it. And I'm not saying like we never call anyone as far as I know and say, hey, you promised this much money and it hadn't come in yet. We're not doing that. But it's something that you have made a promise between yourself and the Lord, and it will help us to plan and help to hold yourself accountable. But I will ask, the same that I mentioned before we took the offering last Sunday, I'd ask that you only give if you can do it cheerfully, never out of any obligation. God loves a cheerful giver. It pleases him. God cares about your heart. Doesn't care so much about your wallet. I feel the same. Not that I matter. But your wallet does reflect your heart. Your time reflects your heart, too. Because money isn't the only resource that God is asking for, that he cares about. We need people to go. Giving your valuable time. Maybe even giving up some vacation time. And I'd make you another promise. Look at this. It's like three promises coming out today. I promise you, because I've never experienced anyone who gave up some vacation time going away and chose to go to serve others. Never have I ever heard anyone regretting that decision. Test me on it. Again, God cares about your heart. And so we want to have opportunities to, or provide you opportunities to get involved from right here in Chattanooga to the ends of the earth. For men, for women, for youth, for families, whether it's the spring break trip with Ottawa Baptist in D.C. And we want to help you too. If you are feeling that call or just kind of investigating the possibility of going full-time vocational into missions, we want to be here for you for that as well. So we talk about giving, giving your life to please God. Does giving your life to please him seem reasonable? And if you look at who God is and you look at his mercies, and the answer is yes. But how we act shows what we truly believe. Not that we aren't going to fail, and certainly not that I'm perfect in any way whatsoever. Most of the things I come in here and say, like if you find something convicting on a Sunday, odds are I found it convicting first because I struggle with it, and you just get to hear about it and be brought right along with me. So what can you faithfully give to please God? I'm not talking about earning anything. We're not talking about earning salvation. We're not talking about earning even favor with God, but just that desire to please him because we love him and we know that he loves us. It's simply a heartfelt desire to please your loving Father and your Creator like a beloved child. So I'd like you all to go ahead and take out your commitment card. If you don't have these, they are in the bulletins, and you can grab some of these as you get out, but go ahead and pull that out. You may already know what the Lord has called you to put on in here, and so you can just mark that really quick, and in just a few minutes when the offering plate comes by, you can go ahead and put that in. If you think you know and aren't totally sure, you can put it in. You can always change it as we go forward or add to it or take away or whatever as we go through the conference and put it in the future weeks. But if you're not sure, if you really have no idea, we're going to give you a few minutes just as we sing. You don't even have to stand. You can just stay seated where you are and pray through it. Maybe the Lord will tell you what to do today. Wonderful. Mark it on here. Put it in the offering plate. But if not, just take this commitment card with you. And just commit to pray through it now and through the conference, and then make sure you complete it by the end of that time. I want to walk through this with you a little bit. You'll notice that you've got a tear-off section here. That's a tear-off so that you... Okay, make sure I get this right. You keep this section, right? Turn that one in. Yes, that's right. Tear off this side of the card and keep... keep this side. Make sure I get these things right. You're going to turn this one in, right? And we've made it big enough so everyone can see it. So this is just for your record so you can mark it on both sides. And so it talks about just amounts you can give, and this is kind of, you know, I want to give per week in the year 2017, give per month in the year 2017, and then you've got these a list of where we're going in the world here. But if you go to kind of the back side, here's what we're committing to. Praying for a certain number of missionaries per day or week, per month, and you can write in who those are going to be, because we want to encourage them by letting them know who is praying for them. If you'd like, we can also, and there's information on the missions counter out here, that Go counter, that will help you to get information from them, emails and regular newsletters to be able to pray for them well. And so the next one there is pray for blank, daily, weekly, monthly. That may be that there is a missionary or a team or an area that you are specifically committed to or connected to. Mark that in there just so we can be able to let them know who's praying for them. The connecting there, you know, connecting with. That's, hey, you know what, I want to go, I'm going to pray for them, and yes, we want to do that, but I want to connect with them. I'm going to just reach out to them, give them a call, send, exchange some emails or some letters or whatever it might be. Or maybe next time they're in town, I want them to come stay with me or take them out. But I want to connect with them, and that's really about caring and just making sure that the missionaries know that we are behind them. And so you can put in one of the names there. That's not just for people who are coming to the Go conference, but for any of our missionaries. Again, we have lists on bookmarks out here in the foyer. And then here's the next one here. I want to consider going on the following mission trips. And this is not just, okay, if all things aligned and you know, the Lord wrote in the wrote in the clouds for me to do it, I would do it. But really seriously saying, I am very interested in actually going myself. And so it could be a women's trip or a men's trip, a family trip, youth, young adults, other. That family trip in particular, if you're marking that one, that's where we're probably going to contact you and see if you would be interested in the spring break trip this year. But there could be others. And you could write a location on there or not. But just saying, I'm interested in going somewhere, and we want to know about that. And then I'd like to receive updates from, and that's for any of the missionaries that we may be connected with. None of this does us any good without the my name, and at least the my name, and hopefully the email there as well, so we can actually get in touch with you and let the missionaries know that. And so we ask you to prayerfully consider that. You can really only, as we talk about pleasing God, what this whole day has been about, you can really only please God, you can really only give your life for Him, because Christ gave His life for you. So I want you to take time as we kind of prayerfully consider and then possibly even go ahead and complete the faith promise or grace-giving card during that song. But if you need to make that first step in faith, that self-giving yourself to God by asking Christ for salvation, about giving your life to Him, I just want you to come and see me. I'm not going to be standing on the front today as we are all kind of considering the faith promise cards. I'll be over here in the corner. And by all means, even if I have my head down and eyes closed, come and talk to me, because we want to introduce you to your Savior. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have some time to complete the cards and sing as well. Father, I do thank You for opportunities to go. And God, I just pray that we as a church will please You. God, that we will show our love for You by the way that we give, the way that we pray, the way that we care for missionaries, the way that we reach out here. All these things, Lord, just doing, actively doing good intentionally wherever You would take us. God, I pray that You would clarify for all of us today and throughout this conference how You desire to use us, how we can be a part of what You are doing in and through this church and us as individuals. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I encourage you, of course, in the National Day of Prayer to be in prayer for all of our missionaries sent and supported, those of us who will go, and about what the Lord would call us to do. And so, no matter what the cost, grace, it is time to go.